A famed author and scholar based in Pittsburgh has unearthed disturbing and potentially explosive FBI allegations against Martin Luther King Jr. The accusations are based on the Bureau's extensive surveillance of the iconic civil rights leader, but some historians caution there are reasons to doubt the FBI claims. A warning for listeners, this story contains discussion of sexual violence. 90.5 WESA's Bill O'Driscoll reports.
David J. Garrow is a historian specializing in the civil rights movement and formerly a professor at the University of Pittsburgh Law School. His 1986 book, Bearing the Cross, Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, won the Pulitzer Prize for biography. An earlier book explored how the FBI spied on King. A year ago, says Garrow, the National Archives quietly released, online, a vast trove of previously classified documents.
They are part of a huge document dump, only a very tiny percentage of which involves Dr. King. Most of the material is one angle or another having to do with the Kennedy assassination.
The dumped documents, there were some 54,000 web links, were uncatalogued, but Garrow dug in. Thanks to his experience with the FBI's filing system, he unearthed records of the Bureau's obsessive wiretapping of King's phones and bugging of his hotel rooms throughout the 1960s. Thursday, Garrow published a long article in the online and print editions of the British magazine Standpoint. Some of the information in The Troubling Legacy of Martin Luther King simply expands our knowledge of King's extramarital sexual activities that have been public knowledge for decades. For instance, Garrow says, about the number of women King had affairs with.
I always thought that there were probably 10 to 12 over the course of 4 or 5 years. This new material makes clear that the total is more like 40 to 45 different girlfriends.
But it's one alleged episode in a bugged hotel room that will strike many people as most shocking. Garrow found it in the files of FBI Assistant Director William C. Sullivan, a top deputy to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover.
What is new in the recently released documents is Assistant Director Sullivan's allegation that one of the women at this gathering was forcibly raped by one of King's ministerial friends as King looked on present in that same room.
It was January 5th, 1964, just months after King's I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington. King and a party of friends checked into Washington, D.C.'s Willard Hotel. An FBI surveillance summary also says that, quote, King looked on, laughed, and offered advice during the alleged rape. We can't hear these tapes or read the FBI's transcripts of them. Both are sealed by court order until 2027. We just have the summary. But if true, this incident would likely change many people's perception of King, who despite his flaws remains a social justice hero, one with his own national holiday. Beverly Gage is a history professor at Yale University who's writing a biography of J. Edgar Hoover.
I think it's remarkable research that in part affirms things that many people had already known in a general way. I certainly think the allegations about King watching a rape in progress and laughing about it are the most explosive.
The King estate did not return messages seeking comment for this story. But in the Me Too era especially, the alleged incident raises questions about the treatment of women by powerful men. Garrow also finds it disturbing that the FBI did nothing to halt this reported crime in progress. But did the incident actually happen as described? Gage cautions against drawing conclusions too quickly. To understand why, let's look at the evidence. The FBI summary describing the rape incident was typewritten, but those 7 words describing King's actions, King looked on, laughed, and offered advice, are handwritten in pencil. It's marginalia scrawled probably by Sullivan, the assistant director, says Garrow. That will strike many as suspicious. After all, Garrow's research is just the latest to detail that, as with many political activists, Hoover's FBI had it in for Martin Luther King.
The Bureau's hope was clearly to smear King, and in private, throughout official Washington, through church circles.
Sullivan was also behind the infamous suicide letter the FBI mailed King later that same year. The letter, accompanied by excerpts of FBI surveillance tapes, seems to suggest that King kill himself. It reads, quote, "There is but one way out for you." Gage, the Yale history professor, also notes that the words and sounds on the original tapes were themselves subject to interpretation. Remember, FBI agents were listening in from a nearby hotel room. They couldn't see anything that was happening. And the agents who transcribed the tapes were employees of an institution with its own sometimes questionable priorities, Gage says.
There is a whole wealth of interpretation that is, determined by the FBI's own subjective internal culture. It's determined by people's desires to tell their superiors what they want to hear, tell a figure like J. Edgar Hoover what he wants to hear.
For instance, in 1963, Sullivan told Hoover there was no evidence of communist influence in the civil rights movement, then quickly recanted after Hoover was angered by that conclusion. For some, such episodes create a deep skepticism about findings like Garrow's.
I wouldn't believe anything that's in some summaries done by disparate agencies, if they exist. Sometimes they're made up.
Mary Frances Berry is a University of Pennsylvania history professor and former chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She also wrote a history of the commission, including FBI attempts to smear King to commission members.
I think that the lurid stories are probably exaggerated, and there's no reason for us to compromise his reputation and denounce him and take down his monument based on this kind of a story. Let's wait until we see the tapes. Let's wait till we hear them and then see what we think.
Garrow doubts agents preparing an internal FBI document would have flat out fabricated a story like this. Gage agrees.
I think it is unlikely that it was invented with no basis in reality.
Garrow says it was very difficult to find a publisher for his article. He says he approached about 36 magazines and major newspapers, most in the U.S. and the U.K.
Some of which said, it's too long for us. Some of which said, oh, it's, you know, not a fit for us. A small number of forthright editors, frankly, said, we think this is too controversial, too revelatory for us.
He finally connected with Standpoint, a right-of-center British monthly that is pitching his article in a Me Too context as exposing the abuse of women. However, Garrow himself cautions that his findings do not close the book on what happened in a hotel room in January 1964.
I think only when the full materials are available, not just these summary samples, will there be possible a full historical reconsideration of to what degree does this undercut King's reputation.
Those tapes and transcripts will be available to the public in 2027, about 8 years from now. I'm Bill O'Driscoll, 90.5 WESA News.